You're listening to 4Culture Radio, so grab a coffee, turn it up, and get whizzed off your tits.
Who you doing it for? Why do we do the things that we do? That thing we do? Which thing is it that we're doing? Pull the bar stool up to the bumper and let's talk. Pour yourself a little something, something. Tonight, on the Artist D's fabulous show, we'll talk about what you're doing. How you doing? Let's get this party started. Shall we go there? I think so.
Get whizzed off your tits.
I am a fantastic dancer. I'm not ringing my own bell.
Well, I think it's one of those strange manhood rituals.
Oh, that sounds fun!
Hello, I'm Bert. Hey, fishy, fishy, hey, fishy.
I'm a fantastic dancer. I'm not ringing my own bell.
Is this really necessary? Is this really necessary?
Can anybody lighting a joint like I am right now? Can I say that on here?
Understand me, and in all probability, you never will.
Good evening. I am your unscrupulous host, the Artist D. I'm just like Elvira. Just like Elvira, I got a dick. I just channeled that from somewhere, because I put on this ring. I always put on a ring when I start this particular broadcast, and it's a very gothic, fabulous ring, and it reminded me of the first Elvira movie, because wasn't there a ring? There was a ring, and then that came to me in Australian, which I'm sure is not very Australian, but that's all I knew of my Australian. Just like Elvira. So, shall we? We shall. Twitter the hell out of it on 4Culture Radio. This is live April 3rd, 2017, and it's actually a Monday. But you know, you can do the show whenever you want to do the show, because that's the freedom of the internet, and that's what we keep saying. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. You just have to do it. But who you doing it for? So tweet me at TheArtistD and tell me, in between, after, before, everything, who you doing it for? The underground is where we are. That's where we're located. The underground where it burns. The show where I hold the microphone. And tonight, I was just thinking, and I had to think aloud to you out there in the aether. Ether? Aether. Get your tongue straight, darling. Get your tongue straight. And hopefully you have chosen some beverages for yourselves. Because you've got to keep limber for shows like this. Listening to that intro, I just hear so many dead people. And they're either dead because they're really dead, or they're dead because they've gone far, far away. Depressed people who are gone, and who are depressing me with their depression. That's been a carrying theme throughout the Artist D's fabulous show as we started this all last year, this particular show, this particular broadcast, which is different than the Fabulous D show. That was something else, somewhere else. Make no mistake, I have been on the internet since, Well, we figured it the other day, actually. I was meeting someone from way back in the day, and I asked them how long had we known? When did we meet? How long did we meet? What was the story that they recalled? Because I couldn't recall shit. And they said 20 years. And I had to pause and really think, are they exaggerating? But no, they weren't exaggerating. They met me in 1997. And that's like 20 years ago. I know, math. Science and math and algebra and everything in between are bubbling on the underground when you've been within the underground stew for 20 years. And I've seen so many people lost. I've seen them lost, and it's too bad when someone loses themselves. And I'm seeing that a lot throughout this season of the show, because haven't we come along when people are seeming to lose themselves repeatedly because of the climate of their society or their culture? And that depresses me when you're still dwelling on the election in April the following year. That bothers me when it's stopping you from doing things. And that's what I'm seeing, is it's shut some people down. And I really, really hate when people just decide to shut themselves down. Because for 20 years, I've had two main ambitions: to inspire or to entertain. Two things. That's all. Those things have come in many different forms, shapes, sizes, muffin tins. Either by myself, I wished to inspire or entertain, or do so with others. I had no particular preference. I would have loved to have done it alone. But as some people have learned, you can't do it if you just go alone. It takes two to do certain things. And throughout my time on this internet, I've yet to ever really hit that inspire or entertain to the masses. Let's say to the masses, because there are people, there are listeners, there have been watchers, there have been readers, there are people out there. And I do hear randomly from people that they're very inspired, or they're very entertained. And that's fantastic. Fabulous, darling. But, you know, when I go on to a video or count on my analytics pages, look at the SoundCloud, because that's where you can find this broadcast, soundcloud.com. Look up The Artist D, and you'll find every show that we've done here on The Artist D's fabulous show. And some that we haven't. I posted the other day, as I pop the peas, I posted the other day about the show that I did, what was it, 7 years ago or something, 5, 6, 7 years ago, for Walt Cessna, with Walt Cessna, who just died, I believe it was last week. So I posted that from the archives to memorialize. And there will be more posted from the archives over at the SoundCloud account, because that is where we are memorializing. Hopefully SoundCloud is not going anywhere. But Walt was another voice from the past who is no longer with us. And against his will, shall we say, you know, the people that die, they're not being able to create because they do not have the choice any further. And that's acceptable, because we cannot explain death and the choices of death when it becomes us and when it overtakes us. But we can choose when we're just depressed because Donald Trump is the president and you've decided not to do anything for several months and possibly several years, or your style has gone so down the tubes because you can't seem to focus anymore. And that bothers me, because you have a choice. Just because the world did not bend to your will and they elected someone whom you have a problem with and who are scared of and all that business, you don't stop doing. And that's the story that I'm currently telling you. Because throughout my years on the internet, 20, apparently, I've yet to ever really hit it, like strike gold. And gold here means a level of acknowledgement, which can look and sound like a bunch of people have enjoyed this. You know, when you go to the, if you go, well, you can't go, but well, you could go. But I see the list on YouTube. I see the videos. I've done many vlogs throughout the years, and they're all very interesting, if you ask me. And they're all very amusing and or inspirational. And they're, I mean, I'm pretty, I'm blonde, I'm fabulous. That takes a lot of time, you know. And some of them, I'm just me, and I'm a man. I'm a man, baby. And you look at the count, you know, because it gives us a list. Me, on my side, I see a list of all the hits. And the snappy titles are the ones that get a couple hundred or so after a few years. But my general average is on the 30s to the 40s to the 50s of views. That's it. That's all. People will watch, you know, initially, like, up to 20 people will watch, and over time, random people will continue to watch. But it's not as if I post something and the next day I get 1,000 views and 10 comments. I don't get comments. I don't get views. We don't know why that is, other than I'm posting something of substance and, quote unquote, there's just something about me. There's something about me, possibly, that does not connect to the average human being. I've been told it's because I don't talk to you about baking cakes and my average everyday frustration out in the world. However, when I do talk about that, you don't seem to believe me, because I could talk to you for like 2 hours every week about my experiences at the grocery store, and I have done that sometimes, and those don't get any hits either. So when I do stoop to the level of just human stories of these things and not opinions or insights or interviews, I do tell you these things, but it still goes over just as much as the other stuff. So it's a mystery. It's a scientific mystery. And after 20 years on the internet, I don't really think about it nor care. I'm beyond that level anymore, because I'm actually of a level, and I've discussed this before with you, and I've especially written about it. I don't even know if I want that. I don't even know if I want to log in and see thousands of hits every day and tons of comments about what an ass I am, or, you know, picking or whatever. I don't even know if I care to see that anymore. Although that's good, because if it were to ever happen, maybe it wouldn't bother me quite as much. But I know that people are enjoying it. I get some letters, I get some emails, I get things that say, this really affected me. And I know, being a singular individual, a human of singular makeup in a meat suitcase, singularly, disconnected from the tree currently, and we can explain what that means at a later time, but I am, you know, you are birthed of the universe, and you are that one singular individual, but yet you're still connected to everything. But at this very moment, you are you, and that's all I've got to say about that. You are just you. So I can speak to this, that I have heard random things from random people who barely get any hits at all, or any listens or views, and it has changed me, and it has affected me, and it has gone with me for long enough that it actually kind of alters my DNA just a bit, my poetic DNA. So maybe that's why I'm personally not stopping. or that for 20 years, the only thing I've done is put one thing aside to move on to the other because that thing didn't seem to be working or I got bored with it or. But I don't strike out. I don't hit gold. And that's okay. But I still do what I do because somebody listens. And it's those random times where you post something, like the first time, my first show back after several years of hiatus on Fabulous D Show, now to the Artist D's Fabulous Show, I came to the comment section to find someone, longtime listener from before, who was saying that they absolutely melt over my voice. And, you know, it's just one little comment like that, five little listens, and you got me. You got me hooked. But I've done things with groups before, and it's always so goddamn disappointing. Not for, well, I'm disappointed in their disappointment. Because I'm not disappointed in the project. I'm disappointed in the failure of the people that have done the project with me. And this goes back to blogger days where I did group blogs. I mean, you put out a form on a page and said, I am looking for group bloggers. And they signed up and you made this collective of people and we all posted each of our own blogs on one blog. And it was like this cute little family. And that was fun. But those people slowly faded away. They found something else to do, and they went on to something else. I've done radio shows involving people. I've done it especially involving chat rooms of people. And those were the hardest times, because you've got to show up, and you've planned a bit of what you're going to say, but you have to leave a little room for the chat room. But some weeks, certain people show up, and some weeks certain people don't show up, and sometimes no one shows up, nor do they say a goddamn thing. And they just slowly, you know, again, I've got to take my kid to karate practice, or I've got to do a birthday party. Stuff like that. With your listeners, or your fellow broadcasters, your fellow bloggers, everythingers out there, they all break for life. And now you tell me, Artist D, but that's life. I've got a kid. What am I supposed to do with my fucking kid? I've got a husband. What am I supposed to do? Not cook him dinner? And to that, I say, of course not. You've got to do things. But it's always comes back to the dedication. And I'm always fascinated by the lack of dedication. Because, you know, these people, humans, all the humans that I have worked with throughout my artistic humanity, and especially my internet max headroom lifestyle, they all are very dedicated people. And they all show up at their job to get paid every day. And they all come home and they bow to their society. They really do, as far as they are committed to making that work. The fence needs painting, they're going to paint the fucking fence. The dog needs walking, the kid needs to be bathed. The dinner needs to be made. The breakfasts need to be made. They've got to make it on time here, there, and everywhere. They have to get groceries every week. And yet their commitment to their hobby. Now, this is whether you do this with someone or without someone. The commitment to your hobby is not as committed as you are to the rest of your life. And I take things very seriously. I'm an extremely severe, listen to those words, person. And everything I do, I have done very seriously. You know, and that's the workhorse mentality, of which somehow is in the genetics. It's got to be epigenetics, because I was not destined to be a workhorse as far as my personality and the way I acted and the way I was raised and the creepy bratty shit that I sometimes pulled growing up. And fuck that responsibility. But somehow, genetics, I have to say, it's in your blood. You're a workhorse. And a lot of us are workhorses. And we are so fucking committed to these things. And I'm obsessive. I'm also an obsessive junkie, as we've always discussed. And that goes on all the legal levels of things, of substances. I'm a junkie for food. I'm a junkie for work. I'm a junkie for making things work, for doing things, for putting in the time, for sitting at the computer at home on my time off, working on shit until I'm bleary-eyed when I'm doing it for free. But it was a task of which I either was given or I assigned myself, and I decided I'm going to work the shit out of this. So when I look around and see people who basically their response is, oh, this is my hobby, and therefore I can put it on the back burner. No, absolutely fucking not. You cannot put it on the back fucking burner. It should be right up front with the rest of this bullshit. Yes, you should take your kid to karate class, but you should also come on and listen to my show if I did it on a regular basis. And that's why we don't. And that's why we have the internet. And that's why you can do whatever the fuck you want, because you can download it as a podcast on SoundCloud or juicedtalk.com. And you can listen to it anywhere. So you don't even have to. You can listen to it while you take your fucking kid to karate, okay? But if you're actually involved in a project and you're a goddamn artist or you're a writer or you're a poet or you're interested in this bullshit and you have that responsibility, you have assigned it to yourself, all right? You're not getting paid for it. It's free. You can come out here and you can take your kid to karate, but then you have to do this like it's a fucking appointment. You have to actually sit the fuck down and do your job, the free job, the hobby that has now become a job. And now you don't want to do it because it feels like a job. And that's also another reason why people just back off. And I've done group projects like For Culture, and this is not to say at all that For Culture is particularly suffering, but I see so much with contributors throughout the years, and every place that I do this with, where they get going and they're extremely excited and they're like, yes, I am on forculture.com. It's a reputable art magazine of the underground. They have an active website with active content, which is very rare in certain cases. And I'm going to post. I'm going to write for these people. And they're very excited, and they do so. And they do so for a couple weeks, and they're having a good time. But suddenly they see, like, who reads their shit? And they get, like, 80-some hits. And they're not happy with that. Now, for me, who posts a show for the last... I've been on the radio for... well, since 07. And I've had listeners, but I can't say I've ever, because I know people, I know podcasters and vloggers and live streamers now on YouTube, whom are very popular, and they just go on and they do their shit. And in a matter of moments, they have accumulated thousands of people who watched the video and listen to the stream. And so I've never seen that. I have to say my most popular live radio show was, there was several hundred people listening live, and it really freaked me out. And it was because of the guests that I had at that time. They had a lot of people and they just brought them to me. But the next week was right back down to 20 people on the line. And 20 people on the line for a live podcast, for the things that I and my folks do, that is something to me. So I'm down here working with the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. And currently, after all this time, I'm okay with that. And then I see the for culture, you know, certain things, certain writers who are no longer with us, let's say, they post and they have only got 80 hits and they're freaked out by that. They think that's nothing. I got 80 hits, my God, on a show, on a piece, 80 likes. Just give me even 80 likes. Hell, give me 80 dislikes for Christ's sake. That would be fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And I think it comes down to they get disappointed like I get disappointed in the amount of people that don't listen or don't communicate that they've listened and that the hits are not, they're not building up. And the people they drop away from these group projects because of the lack of acknowledgement. And that ain't nothing. Acknowledgement is not why you do this. You do this to entertain or inspire. And you do not glean acknowledgement from that, because sometimes you're not going to get acknowledged to that extent. And I think that's why they fall away, because they get into the place where I get into the place. But my reaction is, let's keep going. And when my reaction is no longer, let's keep going, this is dead, it's, this is dead, what can we do now? What kind of phoenix can we rise from the ashes next? What can we turn into and continue to do? And I get on these tangents where I log in and I see, God damn, nobody's doing bullshit on these projects. And I think, why should I? Because then I get going and I think, I'll dedicate more time to it. I'll cancel more personal appointments and not hang out with friends and not have dinner with friends and let me stay online and create and fix this so I can get some new people in, because I want to group create. It's almost close to procreate. I want to group create with other people. And it really, I get to that point and recently and before, it's always happened. It's a cycle. When I look and I start to dedicate that time and I'm like, well, why the fuck should I? Why bother? Because then I start to think, who are you doing it for? And that's where it takes me. And I start to fix the website and update links and update pages. And then I start thinking, you bastards have left me here again. You got disappointed. You didn't get enough acknowledgement. And you left me because you found some party scene, or you got a new puppy dog, or you got another child. I'm not saying at all that it's a bad thing to have another child, puppy dog, or find a good party. But everything to its place. There's always another port for another storm, all right? You've just got to put these things in their place. And it's like, a lot like, and I hate to poetically compare constantly, but it comes to mind, the single friends who you love and cherish for years, and then your single friends get married and suddenly they're not talking to you anymore. I think we've all been there, haven't we? I've heard that's a popular one. I'm now married, so I now have all these responsibilities, and oh, my husband and or wife will not let me hang out, or my husband and wife now needs more of my time, so I'm going to shaft you, good buddy. And, you know, we'll hang out once a year and we'll talk about the kids, and I'll rush off because I've got to get to soccer practice. Oh, soccer practice. That's what I feel like when I do a group project and the people who are in it with me slowly fade away to find something else. It's like, well, this is not working. And quite the contrary. If you just stuck with it, and that's the most disappointing thing to me, because me doing it alone and not making it or not striking gold, shall we say, is almost acceptable because I am one person and I'm doing all that I can or all that I think I can. And yes, maybe I can do more, but sometimes you just don't want to do any more. But when you're a collective, when you're a goddamn team, you start to think, well, we're 20 people now. And that's why I love 4Culture. And that's why 4Culture has gone at all anywhere, because we're all these people. And while one of us is sleeping, another one can be doing something else. And it takes a lot of people to provide content and to do. And so you'd think that splitting the job of one entertainer and or content provider and content creator into the roles of a group of 20 would not only take the burden and allow each member of that collective to actually have a life and actually schedule karate training with Johnny, you'd think that it would be even more enticing to them to make it work. You know, almost like an extremely light part-time job. All you've got to do is write one thing. I belong to the TG Forum Collective, the column that I write every month, and I have written a column for TG Forum without fail up to last month. I wrote a column every month. Every month, the executive editor of TG Forum contacts me and she says, "You're up for this month. Get your shit in by Sunday." And every goddamn Sunday, even if it's Sunday morning and I'm typing up a storm because I fucking neglected it all week long, I still submit my piece for the month every Sunday. And at last check, that started in 2011, I want to say. I could check the link. Let's check the link. But that happened a long time ago. And every month since, I've done my job, which has paid me no money, which has gotten very limited comments. People don't comment on my shit. People don't share my shit. Rarely do people actually comment and love and like and say, "Oh, Artist D, you're wonderful, and this was so inspirational, and oh my God, you've changed my life, and this is amazing." Not that I'm expecting it. Or even on the opposite, "Oh, Artist D, this sucks, you're a horrible person, you sound like a goddamn Republican, you know, you hate trannies," whatever. Just anything, but people don't do that. People don't do that at all. But without fail, and I just found it, starting on April 11th, 2011. Hey, it's almost my anniversary. April 11th, 2011, I sent my first post in to TG Forum. They accepted me as a writer. And every month since, my TGF bestie, Angela, has emailed, said, "Column is due. I submit column." Angela posts column. Next month, I hear from Angela again. And we've been doing this since 2011. And for the first time ever, in March, I missed the week that I was supposed to be on because I was traveling and because I got lazy with email for the first time in a long time, and I didn't submit my shit on time. And Angela pushed it to the next week, and it was still submitted. So, technically, and at face value, I have written every month since 2011 for TGF Forum. So go to tgfforum.com, and if you go to theartistd.com, there's actually a quick link to TG Forum, which takes you directly to my list of blogs and columns and work over at TG Forum. And I figured something else out every month to write. And that's what I look at when I look at the groups of people that I get together with. Is like, you know, it's not as if I'm this Blazing Saddles tranny. Because TG Forum is about being transgender and about transgender people. And it's not as if I'm a what do they call them? an activist. I'm not a transgender or gay rights activist. I'm not Kate Bornstein. I'm not these people that go to these wonderful transgender galas and community things. And that wonderful thing in Pennsylvania and the Southern Comfort Conference, when it was the Southern Comfort Conference, I don't do that. And at first at TG Forum, I started as their fashion editor. For Christ's sake, I mean, I'm Lady Gaga. I don't have anything to say about transgender fashion that probably doesn't offend anyone. And, you know, that shortly, that was about a 12 to 20 piece column. And after that, I switched to, you know, what I do best, my opinion. But I have done my best to keep it transgender. Keep it transgender, motherfucker. And keep it to somewhat of the topic of my opinion, body and soul, and transgenderisms. And right now, this year, I'm writing, my column has a theme, and it is called Tranny Queer. And it is a flowing, to-be-continued column for the entire year. It's keeping me kind of mixed and fresh. Because after 8, 9, 10, 7, I don't know. So many years. After so many years, I'm afraid I'm going to repeat myself. So I'm challenging myself with topics and themes. And when I do a group project, I expect the same thing from people, you know, and I've learned a long time ago that it's very difficult to approach someone. I mean, if I approach someone right now and said, you know, you are awesome, you are excellent, I enjoy hearing your vlogs or reading your blogs, can you come to forculture.com? That's forculture.com, and become a writer for us. All you need to do is submit one piece per month to me when I ask you for it. And I can tell you that I could have a team of 20 to 40 people, and probably almost none of them would ever comply. And yet maybe that is the other thing. The lack of accountability is that group projects are seen as hobbies, and therefore do it when you can. And instead of, you know, sending that email and asking them for it, you know, that maybe that gives it an air of something. But I currently think that most of the people that we work with would probably miss it, make excuses, submit shit, if we actually held them down to a deadline. And it would be great to find some people who were not so, and I'm not saying this, it sounds like I'm talking about my current projects, but I'm not actually talking about my current projects. I'm not talking about the wonderful Forculture staff that we have, the team that we have. All those folks are awesome, although those folks do also get disappointed with life and get distracted and all sorts of things. And it would be nice to just find that collective of people that workhorsed it to absolute the shit out of it. Just like we Twitter the hell out of it. Just Forculture the hell out of it. That would be fan-fucking-tastic. But I think they get really distracted about who they're doing it for. And that was the point that I wrote down here was, I was thinking about people and what they would do if they didn't have all this stuff in their head holding them back. You know, I see all these folks walking down the street and they're all like doing this thing with their lives where the peer pressure holds them back. You know, what would people do? The first thing is, what would people do if there was no God? What if they thought that? What if they actually acknowledged that? And you may argue, they may argue, that to have a God is to be moral. But I argue to not have a God and be moral is probably more moral than having a God to make you moral and ethical and a nice person. You know, if there's no consequences for being good or being bad, and you choose to still be bad, then you're just an asshole. But if you have no consequences and you're actually nice and you actually fucking go out of your way for people, being nice, not thinking about your boots, grandma, or your whatever the hell else they wear to get to heaven, and what the Pope wants you to do, or doing a good deed in order to impress St. Peter and have him scrawl in the good book. Oh my God. But if you actually are a nice person, or you actually do a nice thing, or you actually don't do a bad thing, and you have no reason other than, hey, I'm a human meat suitcase and I'm going to be nice because really destroying this person's life wouldn't really be that great. It's not the right thing to do. It's not what the universe particularly wants me to do because I feel that way. I mean, you want to talk about feelings. All these motherfuckers want to talk about feelings, how their feelings are hurt, how their feelings dictate, how their emotions make it all worth it, how they feel. They build all of this momentum on these platforms about feelings and how you shouldn't be, you should never insult someone because it'll hurt their feelings and all this. They want to talk about that. They want to build laws for that and platforms, and they want to hold picket signs for that. But then when it comes to their actual feelings, you know, feeling something real, feeling something from the universe, feeling that you're a human, a bag of fucking bones, and with a brain, and you're made of stardust, and you happen to be alive right this second, right this minute, and yet you won't channel that feeling to say, you know, this feels right or wrong. I'm going to react nicely to this without a reason, without a carrot hanging in front of me like Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost, waiting there to reward you for being good. I love when moral people and ethical people say that they're not doing it because God said they shouldn't do it or because it's against the law. No, motherfucker. You're not doing it. You're not supposed to be doing it because you're supposed to actually feel like that's not really what you should be doing. So I think that all these people who fall away from doing art, from doing what they were once passionate about, they fall away because they feel as if it doesn't matter, that it's not being acknowledged by the public, so they might as well be talking into a mirror. And I've really come quite some far away from talking into a mirror. Because that's why, I mean, that's what they tell me. They tell me, people tell me that I should be doing what I want to be doing. They say I should do what I like to do. Well, maybe I actually like to do this, even if no one else is listening. Sometimes I need to remind myself of that. Sometimes I have to get mad at my collaborators, my fellow artists who said, yeah, I'll join you. And then, you know, I'm not getting a lot of hits and no one really comes here. So, you know, what am I doing it for? Bitch, what are you doing it for? What are you doing it for? Maybe they are doing it for the wrong reasons. And maybe those reasons actually mean they're not supposed to be doing it. You know. It all culls the herd eventually. You think you're an artist, and then you find out you're not an artist. Because you got bored. And you gave up. This show is about people that give up and how I cannot stand them. This show is live on 4Culture Radio at 4culture.com. I am the artist D, and I can't stand people who give up, especially people who retreat. They retreat back into their boring, normal lives because society has offered us all the blue pill or the red pill, whichever pill takes you to the boring place, that boring path, the rusted beige road. The one where you can get a job, because you can get a job, and you can work 70 hours, weeks, nights, weekends, days. You can try and have a normal life. You can have your dog, your kids, your blah, blah, blah. And I hate when people give up for that reason, because they seem to even subconsciously be giving up for, you know, safety of society, safety within the process, within the confines of, because I've been there, because I'm a workhorse and I'm an addict and I get addicted to everything, including that of work. And even when I'm working a job for somebody and even getting paid, you fall into that New York, Manhattan, Murder, She Wrote episode where you're that guy who's staying at the office on the 67th floor. And it's 9 o'clock at night, and the Chinese delivery, well, the Chinese food delivery guy, who is not specifically Chinese, has dropped off your meal, and you'll be leaving the office, the big, beautiful, old 1980s office building in New York City, in an episode of Murder, She Wrote. You leave that office. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? You're leaving that office at 1 a.m. in the morning, and then you go back in to work at 8 or 9 again the next day, and you do more meetings, and you're in a suit all day, and you're in a suit all night, and that's the shit that people fall into, and that's the shit I have fallen into, because it's normal. It's very comforting when you know that your life is completely decided for you. That's the problem with humans. They really enjoy society and the things that it provides because it gives them a reason not to think about what in the world they're doing. For real, you know. Here's 70 hours of work a week. Oh, you're exhausted now. So, you know, try to carve out some time for family. And, you know, that's those people with their family reunions. And they see each other once a year because what are they doing the rest of the year? They're working. They're too goddamn busy for each other. Not to remind that they'd be annoyed if they actually did get to, you know, hang out on a regular basis. But it really bugs me when we get to that point that you threw away your passion and adopted normalcy and are toiling away instead of taking the time. Because if I told you that you could come to my project, whatever that project may be, and you can do what you love, say you love writing or even vlogging or just talking. And I told you that thousands of people will watch you, and that you can, you just have to, all you have to do, and you might even make a little money. How about that? Might make a little ad revenue for your troubles. But in return, you need to do that for an hour every week. But you also have to be prepared for that. But if I told you that thousands of people would watch you, your passionate opinion and or creativity would be on display for the masses to adore. J'adore. And you might get a couple bucks. dinero, my friend. If I told you that and you still had a 70-hour a work week and you had dogs and cats and mice and rabbits and gerbils and 3 children and a husband and a house to clean, you'd find the fucking time. Because I just acknowledged you with lavish acknowledgments of the public. But instead, since I tell you that, hey, yeah, you can create and you can be amazing and you can be passionate and display your work, but sorry, no dinero, my friend, and no mas dinero. And there's going to probably be like 80 people through the door at most who are going to look at you this month. You would say, forget about it. What am I doing it for? Who you doing it for? Are you doing it for yourself? Because that tells me you're not doing it for yourself. But yet you're not even doing what you're doing for yourself. Because you're working your ass off into the grave to never enjoy yourself. Like that Bukowski quote about the, you got the house, you work, you get up and you get into clothes you don't want to wear. And you go to drive a car through traffic, which you can't own the car. It's on a loan, and you're paying it off. That you're in a car that you can't pay off. You go to a job that you don't want, so you can make money to pay for the house that you're never home to enjoy. You know that quote. I was paraphrasing. I just hate saying I just. But it's why I love the artists of whom I do. Because there are a few out there. There are a few artists, there are a few writers, there are a few creators, there are a few radio broadcasters, podcasters, who motherfucking just show up every week. Whether anybody's there or not. That's why I loved the radio stations of the old podcast days, because we had a schedule and a slot. And if we didn't, they canceled our show. If we didn't show up, they canceled our show. And they didn't pay us to do the show, and nobody listened to the show, but yet we showed up every week to do the show because we wanted to just, because it was passion, it was our thing, it was our project, it was going places. I just love those artists because that's who are they doing it for? They're doing it for themselves. Because they show up, they record, they do their thing. They drag themselves into the studio sick. There's that story of, who was it? With the story, with the broadcast, with the, was it Frank Cotolo? Because I've known several broadcasters like this. They have a weekly show. And he too, yes, it was Frank Cotolo. One of the stories that I heard, that he drags himself into the studio, half dead, you know, back in the day. And that's the kind of people. That's what we're talking about. You know, instead of going to, you know, Waterworld or Mickey Mouse's Jimbo Jambo Jangaree on Saturday with the grandkiddies, they decided to stay home, do a radio show for like a handful of people on Stick'em. Remember Stick'em, children? Paint, do something. And I've determined what is important in my life. And it's particularly what most deem important. But for some reason, I stick to it, and I do. To have the art of doing it. And I do hope that people listen. Of course I do, because what the fuck am I talking to? But if 2 people listen, then 2 people listen. That's it. That's all. I will enjoy myself. And you should do. What? Why should you do? You know, what's holding you back? Is God holding you back? That's what's on these notes. What would happen if you didn't have God? What would you do? And what would you do, most importantly, the most important note on this piece of paper, in which I scribbled in an insane rage, is what would you do if this was it? Forget about the past, forget about the future. You know nothing of it. What would you do if you actually were just living right now? And this is just on a personal level. I'm not talking about what would you do like, oh, I'd become an astronaut, or I'm going to marry blah, blah, blah. Not that. Not what you're going to do with your life. What you're going to do with yourself. So many people, they let themselves become hindered by their visible and invisible peers. That is, you know, if there was no God and no heaven and no hell, would you really be living your life trapped in the box of which you are? Would you keep your hair that same color? That same cut? That's the stuff. That's the basis. Okay? I mean, worry about being an astronaut later. The basis of it all is who the fuck are you? And what would you do if whatever is holding you back was no longer holding you back? Would you be gay, bi, trans? If the world didn't tell you, if you had to be a boy or a girl and you had to pick one, would you pick one? Or would you pick neither? Would you sit and create more? What would you do if there was nothing just holding you in? If there was no heaven to become an angel in? If there was no cloud to sit on? If there was no pitchfork to sit on? Reincarnation. I love that one. You're doing it for karma. You're doing it for karma and reincarnation, in of which we reincarnate and don't know who we were. So what's the point? I'm going to be good in this life, so I'm not a beetle in the next. But in the next life, if I'm a beetle, I won't freaking know if I was a human being. Just like I don't know if I was a beetle in the last life. You know, if you weren't always working for some mysterious bullshit, would you be a different person? And would that person make more sense to you? Would that person please you more on a personal level? Would you get the full body tattoo if I told you that right now is all you have? You're going to get old. You're going to die. Dying means you're going to go away. You skin, you meat suitcase, you are going to go away. And don't worry about your consciousness. That'll go, or it'll stay, or it'll do something. It'll dissipate, it'll evaporate, it'll, you know, reciprocate. Don't worry about that. But you, I mean, you've only got one meat suitcase. And a lot of people, I hear that a lot, that especially with myself, you know, I get a tattoo, and the first thing people say is, I wish I could get a tattoo. Why can't you get a tattoo? Well, I'm afraid of what people will think. Or I'm afraid of the pain. But if you knew that that was it, would you allow it to be it? Would you really, really, really allow that to occur in your life? Would you stay who you are right now, if you knew this is all you had? Or would you change your name? You know, going through that, especially, whether you're trans, whether you're changing your gender or changing your name, the first thing people hear from everybody is, at least with the name thing, as I wish that I could change my name. Well, why can't you? Well, you know, it's the car and the mortgage and the bills. I mean, there's stuff with my name on it and I gotta change it everywhere. And, oh, it's just so much hassle and life and society. And then I have to, you know, explain myself to people. I don't want to explain myself to people. Really, bitch? Sorry. I don't get it. I don't buy it. And those are the most life-changing things. Those are the moments that hit me when I realized, holy shit, I could go to my grave. I could become non-existent. I could just evaporate and never have done fill in the blank. That's depressing. And that makes me do more shit. Because holy shit, if that's it, and I missed it. I mean, people do that all the time with, what, roller coasters and parties. And, oh, I should have slept with that one and that one. And I should have rode this one, rode that guy and this guy. And I should have gone in that roller coaster ride. And I should have gone to this party. I would have had so much fun. And, oh, I have so many regrets. Regrets, 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 and regrets. REGREWETS. That's what I hear. I regret not doing this. But yet, they never learn. They never learn. But I hope we learn on the Artist D's Fabulous Show on 4Culture Radio. Until next time, you can download this. You can listen to this. You can share this. You can like this. Like it. Show me you're out there. On SoundCloud, visit The Artist D. Go to theartistd.com. Go to juicedtalk.com to download more great podcasts. And find me at The Artist D. It's just the letter. Is it just the letter? How is it just the letter? How do you have just a name with a letter? Like, oh my God, I don't understand. I mean, is that okay? What do people think? Don't you have regrets about that, D? Exclamation point. Exclamation point. Good night.
It's the Fabulous D Show.
I'm all tied up, ready.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to Upper Life.
Good evening, everyone.
Hey,
D.
How are you, man?
JuicedTalk.com.
I'm Frank Catolo. You're listening to 4Culture Radio.
This is Sereno Veritas news anchor Sal Manella. Despite upholding rights to be forgotten, the Artist D and Anne-Marie of Up All Night are unforgettable. IRC, the International Radio Kin, have looked into what Anne-Marie and the Artist D are all about. Here's what they found.
We just talk and talk and talk, okay.
And talk.
And we think and talk and...
Think some more.
Pandacam.
Cockwine.
Pandacam and cockwine.
IRC has concluded that if any two broadcasters can make your cockwine, it would be Anne-Marie and the Artist D. Listen to Up All Night Saturdays with the Artist D and Anne-Marie live 5 p.m. Eastern Time on 4Culture Radio and available 24/7 archived on the Too Cool for School website juicetalk.com. This has been Sal Manella.